We've been in a series on just a simple little three-week series on finances, on money. Just straightforward, very straightforward, boom, 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 boom type messages. A lot of it just a review, but very good review for every one of us. And it's just been a whatcha series. Come on. Now we're off and running. So we were talking about what you feeling, or what you thinking first. What you feeling, what you doing. 2 weeks ago, we started the whole series off with what you thinking. And that's where I'm at. Done. Okay. what you thinking? What you thinking about money? We talked about that the very first sermon in the series. That we need to be aware, we need to be aware that there is a power struggle inside of each and every one of us right now. That you can only serve one master, you cannot serve both God and money, and the only one can be your master. It's not a shared deal. We talked about the test of prosperity, that we are prosperous, we are in fact rich, even the poorest among us here. We are rich when you compare ourselves to any other society, country, generation, whatever, that has read God's word, these words that God shared when he speaks to the rich. He's speaking to every one of us. And so we have this test of prosperity where God is testing us with prosperity. And we talked about how we fail the test and how we pass the test. We fail the test by believing that more is always for me. More is always for me. That's how we fail the test of prosperity. But this series has been it's been very straightforward, but it's all been on the positive slant. I don't know if you guys have kind of caught that or not, especially last week as we talked about that. But we wanted to look at how to pass the test of prosperity. And how you pass the test of prosperity is by being generous, by being using your money for good deeds, for being willing to share. And that's straight from Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Right there it is. That's how we should be thinking about our money. So what you thinking about your money? There's a right way to think. And there's a wrong way to think. We want to encourage you guys to always think the right way about everything in life. That's what God's word wants us to do. We want to be able to sort through and say, okay, here's the right way to think. We also want to know the right way to feel. What you feeling? What you feeling about money? And we talked about the love of money. It's not money. Money itself is not evil. There's nothing inherently evil in money. But it's the love of money. That's the root. Not money. The love of money is the root. We review that scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6, a little further up in the chapter, verse 10, for the love of money, for the love of money, not just money. Love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So there's a negative way to feel about money. And when you've allowed money to kind of take over and move into first place and move God out of first place, then we've all experienced some of those griefs. We've been pierced with many griefs. Hopefully, none of us here have left the faith. Well, if you're here, hopefully you've come back then. But we know of people who have left the faith because of the love of money. It's dangerous. And so there's a negative way to feel. But there's also a positive way to feel about our money. And that's what we focused on last week. A lot of it was that in Ecclesiastes, we learned that if you're able to enjoy your wealth. In fact, the scripture we just read in 1 Timothy said that God gives us this for our enjoyment. Ecclesiastes, Solomon says that if we're able to enjoy our wealth and our possessions, then this is a gift of God. If we're able to enjoy our stuff and our things. Those are professional terms we used last week. Our stuff and our things. If you're able to enjoy those, that is a gift from God. So we can't have a good feeling when it comes to money. And the way that we have a good feeling towards money is we have to learn a secret. We have to learn a mystery to our world around us. And that is a secret of contentment. It's something that's learned. It's a decision, but you have to learn it. You learn contentment. And it's a secret because you don't see it readily available around us. It's not something that you're going to learn by looking out at our culture. In fact, learning contentment is countercultural. It goes against our culture. And so we have to think differently. We have to feel differently. If you want to think good about your money and you want to feel good about your money. And we have a lot of stuff and things. Back to those professional terms. And when we accumulate stuff and things, it's very easy to fall into this understanding that we deserve the stuff and things that we have. Whether you've earned it or it's been given to you, a lot of us just a combination of those things. And so it's very easy to fall into that idea that I have stuff and things, so I must deserve stuff and things. And that moves us into the attitude that is completely opposite of contentment, the attitude that is readily available everywhere, that our culture and our society supports and teaches, and that is the attitude of entitlement. And so there's a bad way to feel about money, and there's a good way to feel about money. What you thinking? What you feeling? And then today, what you doing with your money? Today's real simple. Today's just boom, 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 boom. For people that like messages like that, it's a good one for you, okay? We're just going boom, 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 boom. As much as we can pack into these different passages, you have got a ton of scripture there in your bulletin. We're not going to be reading all of that. We'll be reading a number of them, but not all of them at all. So they're there for you to go and check things out, do some self-study on this as well, and to know that all these things that we're bringing, every one of them are biblical truths. So we'll start at the top. God is always at the top. So honoring God with our money. A few years ago, and it's hard to imagine, it was 2 years ago this month that we went through a study together that was really a church-changing study. It was pretty awesome. Take God at His Word. And we all had books we were reading through, and we were coming in here for messages, on very practical messages on taking God at His Word. And it had a huge impact on our church, just enormous impact on our church. We had a $300,000 loan that we had taken out in 2005 to do a lot of updates all around the church at that time. By the beginning of 2018, we had only paid about $190,000 on that, depending on what the total was. So around $200,000. And so we owed, this is the number I do know. We owed $110,000 at the beginning of 2018. After this series and after our church stepped out and we took God at His Word and we stepped out on faith and our giving was obvious that we were taking God at His Word, we paid off that loan in just over a year, 2019, and we are currently debt-free. That was our last debt, wasn't it? Yeah, so we are debt-free as a church. So we took God at His Word, and we watched how God blessed, and God blessed, and God blessed, as we brought the tithe in and filled His storehouse with food. There have been all sorts of things that have happened this past year. When you get your giving statements, you will have a letter that will highlight some of these things, and I was looking over as worship. I didn't want to be too distracted from music, but Dave Kelly? Okay. Dave from next door, I guess something happened today. I didn't get a text, and I thought we were clear that it was this Sunday. If he shows up next Sunday, then I guess he can thank you himself then. He was going to come over and just express his thanks for last year at the B2S giveaway. We raised about, among the collection, we raised about $1,600. The church kicked in another $400 because they had a need of about $2,000. To be able to provide a little, like 40, 41 kits for the kids next door. And so that was one of the ways that we've done that before, but that was an addition. And you didn't see the offering or the bringing of the tithe. I'll use my words carefully there. We bring the tithe, we give an offering. Makes sense? Because we're bringing back to God what belongs to Him. An offering is something we give. And so the bringing of the tithe did not die down at all while we were giving this offering to the back-to-school giveaway. And that was a telltale sign of where our hearts are as a church. And it was really, really exciting to see that. That was about $2,000 that we went there. We had 37 military Bible sticks that we gave to our troops. Once again, the bringing of the tithe did not fall. It kept consistent. In fact, 2018, our trend line was positive. It went up all four quarters of 2018. The harvest offering was $4,500, and that will be taken with us to Egypt to give to Safah and the mission there. We had about a $5,000 Easter offering that provided much-needed repairs on the awning downstairs, the back awning. We had Christmas Care and Share. We provided 43 food baskets and gifts for 96 children. And all the while, giving continued to keep up. So in that study, we took the Malachi 3:10 challenge, every one of us that did it, and we either stepped up our game to 10%, or if you were there, some of you might have even stepped it up even further to take that extra step of faith. Past the 10% baseline. I want to read to you that Malachi chapter 3, where we were in that study, so we can all have that reminder of where that moment for us. God says in Malachi chapter 3, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. God doesn't throw that sentence around easily. In fact, there are places in the Bible that says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. But on this subject, God is very forthcoming. He's just out there. Test me in this. Test, and we did, didn't we? We tested him. And oh my goodness, the story after story after story after story from various people in our congregation about how they stepped it up and God blessed them. And they stepped it up and God blessed them. And I was very careful to teach a message like that. All the years I've been here reading that book, I was like, this is health and wealth gospel. But then the more I read the book, I was like, no, this is just what God's word says. That's all he's doing. And so wanting to make sure I didn't teach a health and wealth gospel, I kind of pendulumed over here. And so that year, I kind of came a little more center and being able to share something like this and say, you know what? God will bless you if you take a step out. He will take care of you if you take a step out. And man, oh man, we had so many people here in the church see that, see how God would come through for him. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. See if I do not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. That's a powerful, powerful passage. Let's go and write this down. Honor God with your money and be blessed. What you doing? Well, first and foremost, we want to honor God with our money. And in return, we are going to be blessed. That's the way it happens. Malachi mentions the tithe. Let's go and write that down. A tithe, this is all review for most of us here. And if it's new, then just write quick, because I'm boom, 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 boom today. The tithe is 10%. That's what a tithe means. It means 10%. And the tithe is an Old Testament agreement, an Old Testament regulation. And so we have people who are moving to the New Testament and say, well, the New Testament doesn't, the old is gone, the regulations don't stand, whatever. I'm not going to get in a big old argument about that or a conversation about that. Here's what I do know, is that if you test God in that, his promise that he gave in the Old Testament has been measurably true in the New Covenant, in the New Testament with his people today. So regardless of regulations, whatever, if you test God in the tithe, if you test God in giving him 10%, I've seen it time and time and time and time and time again that the blessing, the promise that God promises in Malachi 3:10 still happens today. So regardless of what is required or what's expected, or Jesus is talking about us giving of from our hearts and giving, and that just goes above and beyond. So if you just set a baseline at 10 and say, you know what? I'm going to test God in this. I guarantee you're going to want to take it. you're going to take it up after you see what God does. It's pretty stinking awesome. It's just really, really, really cool. So rules, regulations, whatever, the blessing still happens. Amen? Okay, raise your hand if you've been a recipient of the blessing from giving to God. Okay, look at that. Okay, it still happens. None of us are living in the Old Testament. None of us took time machines to get here this morning. It still happens. We've talked in the past about giving our first fruits. It's going to write that down. First fruits. That's giving off the top. That's you don't give God what's left over. You don't get to the end of your month and say, okay, I'm going to give this to God, because you'll never have anything to give. And that doesn't honor God with your giving at all. That's moving to last place. That's leftovers. And we don't want to do that. None of us do. If we want to honor God, we want to honor him and give him our first fruits. That's off the top. That's before Uncle Sam gets any money. Some people have, that's been a kind of an aha moment for some people. They're like, oh, you know what? I remember years and years and years ago I shared that. And I remember Walt saying, hadn't thought about it that way. That was you, right? Okay, I want to make sure I don't tell the wrong story on the right story on the wrong person. So that story happened. But hadn't thought of it that way. And last year I shared with you that I had a little bit of a faith test when I started looking at our giving going into 2019. And something I had never considered to give on was, we were given a solid 10% on my wife's salary and my salary. Our not take home, but before taxes, that part. Gross, but I hadn't been including gross benefits. We normally take benefits and kind of set them aside. And that's a hunk of money. If you get medical benefits, and the church takes good care of me. And so the medical benefits, when I started looking at that, I was like, that's really income. I mean, it comes in, goes out, but it's a blessing from God that God's given to me to be able to provide health care. And so last year I was, oh man, and I talked with my wife about it, and I was like, gosh, this is a big step, because 10% of health care, that's a lot of money. And so we stepped it up last year, and we got a chance to just continue to watch the blessings and blessings come in. So give of your first fruits. Off the top, that's what first fruits mean, off the top. Be a cheerful giver, as David mentioned in worship, to give joyfully, to be a cheerful giver. What you doing? Well, you want to give cheerfully. That's what you want to do. I don't know if you guys had a chance to read 2 Corinthians 9 a few weeks ago in our first message. And I think I said 2 Corinthians 6 in the message, but in the bulletin you had the correct reference. So if you went and read it yourself, you would have been able to come across that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we talked about the generosity is a mindset. And that whole little passage there in 2 Corinthians 9 talks about how generosity is a mindset. That giving is a spiritual investment. That you will reap whatever you sow. If you sow generously, you will reap generously. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. So giving to God is a spiritual investment when you give, that you are supplying the needs of God's people in whatever fashion that is. The offering that we're giving to Safah and the mission down there in Egypt, where we're heading this Tuesday, that you're giving to God's people. You're giving to God, but it's going to be going to his people. The gifts that you give here, it provides for myself, our financial situation, allowed us to be able to bring David on. Wasn't that wonderful to have him lead worship this morning? Yeah. We'll get him up here more often. So he hits the right notes. So we'll just get the rhythm. Anyway. but we had the ability to bring in a new staff member because giving's been the way it is. And that's where you're giving to God, but then it provides for his people. David came from a situation where he was working at a church, kind of working, doing the work of a full-time youth pastor, youth minister, but they were only paying him part-time, and so he had to have another job on top of that. And so for him to come here and be full-time and be able to just focus on ministry was a thrill for him. And that's awesome that we can do that as a church. And it's unfortunate that there are churches out there that don't see the need of that. And so you give to God, but it goes toward supplying the needs of God's people. And that happens when it comes to benevolence and any kind of pastoral care that we give to different situations there. That our giving should be a conscious decision. So that's where it was in what you're thinking in the first sermon. It should be a conscious decision so that you're not giving out of reluctance and you're not giving out of compulsion. It's not an emotional decision. It's a mental, it's a conscious decision so that you're not feeling emotional. You get to feel emotional afterwards when you've been generous, when you've shared, when you've done good things with God's word, and then you can enjoy the wealth that he's given you by watching and seeing how your money has blessed others and how it has contributed to the kingdom. So when we do that, then we can be a cheerful giver. And that's right there in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, that we can be a cheerful giver when we understand that God is, that he owns all of our stuff and things anyway. He's the source. He's the source of everything that we have. And that God will purposefully, and this is in 2 Corinthians 9 as well, that God will purposefully increase what he gives us so that we can increase, so that we can be more generous. All that right there in 2 Corinthians 9. If you didn't read it a couple weeks ago when I encouraged you to, I encourage you to read it again. If you did read it 2 weeks ago, I'm going to encourage you to do it again. It's a great passage. It's a really good passage to grab all those little nuggets out of there. 2 Corinthians 16 is a simple little section where we see some patterns, and let's go and write these down, patterns of responsible giving. I'm going to read to you these couple little verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we're just going to write these down, boom, 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 to get a little reminder of patterns of responsible giving. So the scripture's right there in your bulletin, so you can go and look at that later. We're not going to have it on the screen because it's just going to be moving so quick. You wouldn't have time to write down what you need to write down in between what I'm reading. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 says, "Now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do on the first day of every week." So let's write this down. It's regular or habitual. On the first day of every week, it's a regular, it's a habitual giving. They were preparing for a big offering that they were going to be giving to him when he came by. He's like, okay, here's how you get something big. You just do it consistent every week, first day of every week. So you pick a consistent, you're regular, you are habitual. He says, on the first day of every week, each one of you, so it's personal, it's going to write that down. On the first day of every week, each one of you. It's not let's sit down and have a group committee and everyone decide. It is a personal decision that if we want to have patterns of responsible giving, it's something that's personal. It's you and God. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. So it's systematic. It's systematic. It's habitual. Repeat it. It's a pattern. It's personal. Each one of you set aside a certain sum of money. It's systematic. You set it aside. In the Bible, there's a word that means set aside, and we actually sung it a few times this morning. Does anybody know what that is? Holy. It's set aside. It's holy. Okay, so you set aside a certain sum of money. So you set it aside, not that that's particularly holy, but just the idea that you're setting that aside. You set it aside. It's systematic. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. So it's proportional in keeping with your income. That's what's so genius about a tithe. A tithe is 10%. It's not an exact number. An exact number would be very unfair across the board, but a percent, that's fair. 10% for me, it costs me just as much as it would anyone else, no matter what you're making. It's the same sacrifice. It's a 10%, so it's proportional. And so those are patterns of a how do I word that? Patterns of responsible giving from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And then finally in this little section here on honoring God, we need to remember that we need to worship as we offer. Worship as you offer. When we give our offering, when we bring the tithe, it is out of gratitude. It is out of reverence. It is out of praise. You worship when you bring the tithe. You worship when you give your offering. It's worship. And so we honor God with our money, and he blesses us. That's what happens. We honor him, he blesses us. Boom, 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 boom. Just a ton of notes right there, how we honor God with our money. And then he blesses us. So then we must honor God by being wise with what he's blessed us with, right? With the rest of our money. So let's write that down. Honor God by being wise with the rest of your money. I want to talk here just some little things I picked up on some wisdom with the rest of our money. Boom, 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 just like we started the first part. God is the master and I am the servant. Let's write that down. God is the master and I am the servant. So God is considered in all spending decisions. You turn to your neighbor and say, all spending decisions. Turn to your other neighbor and say, every one of them. Okay, if he's the master and we're the servant, that's the truth, right? So it's not just that 10% belongs to him. Really, all 100% belongs to him. He just asks us to return 10 back to him. So even this extra 90% that we have left over that we're going to be living off of, every spending decision should be run through God. And sometimes we forget to do that. Sometimes we forget. We think, well, I'm master over this money. No, you are a manager over every penny you have. You're not master over any of it. You're not ruler. You're not owner. You're the manager. You're the steward, if you've ever heard that word used in stewardship. It's your steward. You're a manager. You're a manager of God's money. We are stewards of his stuff and things. And so we run every decision by God when it's a financial decision. We should be running every decision by him anyway, but just focusing in on finances, all spending decisions go through God because he's the master. We're just the servant. We're just the steward. We're just the manager. He's the owner. And then this one is going to sound, I reworded this one and I switched it back. So I was like, no, I'm going to word it this way in a bullet and I'll just have to explain it a little bit. So I'm going to write it down and then I'm going to explain it. So honor God by being wise with your money. Give to future you. So wait a minute. I thought we were talking about honoring God with our money. We're talking about being generous. And so you want me to be generous to future me? Okay, I'm listening. Okay, but here's my thinking on this, where I picked this up from various different things and all the different money things I've heard about and learned about biblical understanding of money. First of all, investing your money is a biblical principle, right? Out beside that is the parable of the talents and the two guys that invested the money that they were given to manage. They were praised. The one guy that sat on the money that he was given, he was condemned for it. And God was extremely angry with him. So investing is it's a biblical concept. But the mental part of this, the thinking that goes behind this doing, giving to yourself, future, giving to future you, and that is that things are inevitably going to happen. We should have been giving to future us a little more than we have been. I'm leaving for Egypt on Tuesday. Monday night, we're dropping my car off. It needs wheel bearings in the right front wheel. And my car's got 231,000 miles on it. So to spend $400 on it after I just spent $500 on a water pump, it's like, I'm not up to car payments yet. But it's going to get close there where the repairs are costing as much. And so that was coming up. But then yesterday, we had water back up through our house. We had root treatment done in November. And apparently the root treatment must have worked. The guy, when I called him, I was like, do you guarantee this? Because you were just out and you charged us a lot of money last time. It was like double what they charged us, 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And he's like, no, we don't guarantee it. He said, probably what happened is the root treatment worked and now you've got dead roots in your thing. And I'm like, oh man. So, okay, I guess I'll see you Monday. So we were down there at midnight to one something, mopping up this cell. I told Jim Scott he was about to get a call because we don't have a wet dry vac. I need to go out and buy one today. So they're going to have to come back out on Monday while I'm trying to get all my stuff together to leave for Egypt so that to make sure the family's not going to be flooded over the time. So that's going to be, you know, and so you give to future you because you don't know when these things are going to happen, right? We've all been there. And what happens is if you don't give to future you, then these things happen and they can disrupt positive giving patterns. Okay? And we've all been there. We've had it happen before. I'd assume for every one of us. I've been there. And you have something happen and it disrupts, and then it's really difficult to get back into those positive patterns again. It's really difficult to get back into that. So if you give to future you, and then something happens, then you can at least keep the top, and you don't have to worry about going up into that and saying, I really don't, because I explained that to you guys a few years ago. There was a time in our life that we just did not have money to give, and it was an awful period, and it felt bad, and I was so guilt-ridden over it, and we got a chance to scoop out of that, and I don't want to drop back down into that anytime. And so you give to future you, and a good round number is you got 10% tithe, 10% savings. So and then you have 80. You have 80% then. So what do you do with the 80%? We've got a verse from Proverbs. This is one of the few that are up on the screen. So Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down." So don't be a fool. Don't just gulp it down. More is always for me, and then you just, you know, it's all gone. Instead of gulping down, slow down, and let's write this down. Build margin with the remaining 80%. You build margin with the remaining 80%. That's a huge, huge, important piece of being able to continue to be generous with your money. I heard once somewhere, and it's a very true statement, that life happens in the margins. Doesn't it? And that's typically a phrase that's mentioned more about time and having margin in your time, that life happens in the margins, not in all the planned activities, not in all the things, the places and this and that, that life happens in the margins. But financially as well, you've got these things that are fixed and these are all going out, but then this extra stuff, this margin stuff, that's when you can really bless. That's when you can give. That's when you can, you know, step in and help someone or step in and do something nice or step in and do something, you know, when you've saved your 10% and you've got enough to cover if something happens and you've also got a little extra, you can go out and do something with your family. It's just various different principles, but those margins are so important for being able to enjoy your money the way God wants us to enjoy our money. How you feeling? We talked about that last week. That it's a gift from God to be able to enjoy your money. If you're living up to the edges of your paper, you're not going to enjoy your money. I guarantee you're not. So build the margins in there. Build some margins with the remaining 80%. Be wise. So let's put these together. So we're wise, by we're honoring God, and we are blessed. And then we're honoring God by being wise. And so we take the wisdom and the blessing here. So be wise with what you have been blessed with, so that you can be generous. Build some margin so that you'll have money to do good things with. So you'll have money to be generous with. So you have money to share with others when the opportunity presents itself. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." Let's write that down just straight from Scripture. We should excel in the grace of giving. Giving is a form of administering grace. The grace of giving. That's a beautiful way of thinking about it. You know, we get very cognitive, very, you know, what you're thinking, you know, about giving, and percent, and figuring out things. And this is kind of the feeling side of it, kind of caters to last week a little bit. The grace of giving. See that every one of us excels in the grace of giving. You excel here, excel here, excel here, excel here. But let's not forget to also excel in the grace of giving. I love his wording there. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." So let's write this down. This is something I've said a number of times. And anytime I'm talking about money, I'm going to find a way and a reason to bring this up. I am blessed so that I can bless. That's right there. That's right there from Scripture. That we will be enriched in every way so that we can be generous on every occasion. I am blessed so that I can bless. More is not always for me. More's so I can be more of a blessing to others. God gives us generously so that we can give to others generously. So what you doing with your money? We're learning or we're relearning or being reminded of a ton of healthy things that we are to do with our money. And all of these are biblical principles straight from God's word. Do's today. Some Sundays we focus on do nots, but today's not a do not day. Today's a do day. Today's a you do. You do these things. You honor God. You're wise with your money. If you're an action person, it's a good day. It's a good day for you. It's a good sermon. Because it's doing. It's just all about action. Anything we do with our money, really anything you do in life, but we're focused and we're thinking about talking about money right now, is it comes down to priorities. And I had a whole message on this one little line right here. Let's go and write this down. Priorities define money management. You look at all the things. You want to honor God, and he'll bless you, but you have to honor him first. You have to bring the 10%. You have to test him in that. You're not going to do that if the priorities are whacked out. If God's not first, if God's not top, you're not going to give him the first fruits. And if you do, it's just not going to feel right. It's not going to feel good. You're not going to get that good feeling from it. You're not going to enjoy your wealth by giving him first fruits. You're going to give reluctantly. Where Paul says, you don't want to give reluctantly. You don't want to give out of compulsion. You want to decide in your heart what you're going to give. And then you stick with that. You give that on a regular basis. You do that as a pattern. You form these great habits, positive habits. But that's not going to happen if it's not a priority. And that's just basic. That's just super, super simple. But I want to close out this series in that thought and that understanding. And we had, as I said, we had a whole message. I can't remember what year it was, but we had a whole message just on that topic. Priorities define money management. That is the truth. Priorities define money management. You know, in chapter 6, Jesus says a couple things. There's a whole big old section here. I encourage you to just read the whole chapter. It's great stuff. It's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And I was going to highlight just two little verses here in chapter 6. Verse 21, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." There's a lot of truth in that. I once heard a preacher say, "You show me your checkbook and I'll show you where your heart is." A lot of truth. A lot of truth in that. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Priorities define money management. Then just a few verses down in verse 33, Jesus says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So let's write this down. As a Christian, the first priority slot is reserved for God. That's it. That's our first core value here. God is first. That was Jesus' first core value. And they said, what's the most important commandment? What's the greatest commandment? It's love God with everything you got. It was God's priority, wasn't it? When he brought the Ten Commandments, "You shall have no other gods before me." And then the second one was a lot like it. "You will not make for yourself an idol and worship it, because I'm a jealous God." So God is first. And the only way that giving is going to work, the only way that we're going to think right about our money, the only way that we're going to feel right about our money, the only way we're going to do the right things with our money is if God is top priority, because priorities define money management. What is most important is where you're going to give your money. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to go. Jesus said, "You seek God first and everything else is going to take care of itself. Everything else is going to be fine." You focus on God. You take care of God first, and he's going to take care of you. That means he's going to take care of you financially. Among all of the other ways, yes. Material things, is he going to take care of you? That whole passage is about material stuff. He said, look at the birds. You don't see them clocking in, you know, it's Monday, you know. But every one of them are fed, and Jesus says, aren't you more important than a sparrow? Aren't you more important than these little birds flapping around? Look at the flowers of the field. You don't see them, you know, the sewing machine, you know, little thimbles on, the little leaves, you know. But look how beautifully they're clothed. Even Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't clothed in such beauty. And so he says that if you have faith and you put him first, he's going to take care of you. Both of those illustrations were material illustrations. So it's not funky, it's not out of context that we would take God's word. It's exactly what Jesus was saying. Take him at his word. As a Christian, the first priority slot is reserved for God. Ephesians chapter 1 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. We see God's generosity in his grace that he's extended to us. The redemption of our lives, the redemption through the blood of his son Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, those things are in accordance with his grace that he has lavished on us. Christ's sacrifice was the biggest act of generosity that the world has ever known. So let's write this down. My generosity reflects God's generosity. So let me ask you, how valuable do I view God's grace? He was generous to us. He gave his only son. And our generosity reflects his generosity. So if the cross has an impact on us, if the cost of grace to our God is understood by us, then we should understand that our generosity is a reflection of his generosity. His generosity had no bounds. How do we view that grace? Because that's going to be reflected in how we are generous, how we give, what we do with our money is going to be reflected in that attitude. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for all of the wisdom you give to us in your word. Father, we ask that you would help us to take to heart all that you have given to us, all these different passages, these different things that you have shared with us, these reminders of strong and true principles in your word. I pray that we would be reminded of what we got a chance to see bud a few years ago, and it continued to gain traction over 2018 and into 2019. I pray that you'd help us to continue that we would take more steps forward in our faith. And so many other things beyond money, but money is a baseline. Money is an easy thing. Help us to be faithful in these things so that we can be trusted with bigger blessings, blessings that are much more important than financial or material blessings, things that are bigger than stuff and things. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.